The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
Welcome back. We're live in Oxford, Mississippi, on the Grove, on a just spectacular late October day as LSU in town to take on the Ole Miss Rebels. And joining us is Keith Carter, the Ole Miss Athletic Director. And Keith, I'm sure it's not that uncommon, but you think of the SEC, and when I grew up, all the athletic directors were former head football coaches. You are breaking that mold a little bit, coming up from the basketball ranks. You played basketball here with another SEC coach, and got involved in various things and became the athletic director a couple of years ago.
Yeah, you know, for me, coming here as a student athlete to play basketball, never in my wildest dreams did I think I would be the AD here someday, but it's been awesome. And I think, you know, having been a student athlete here, it really allows me to have a really cool perspective on, you know, what it takes to be successful here. And you know, now as an administrator, to be able to give back, it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, Lane Kiffin was here a couple of hours ago, and you hired him. Let's talk a little bit about that. I know it's water under the bridge now that you hired him, but I'm curious because Lane Kiffin now is everybody's favorite head coach, and he's beloved. But you had to convince him to come here. He had other offers, even within the SEC. Take us back to that moment.
Well, you know, I think when we had to make the change, you know, I was looking for a coach to come in, one that was from the offensive side of the football. And then somebody that could bring in, you know, come in and bring in energy and galvanize our fan base. And we needed someone that could come in right away and do that. And Lane certainly did that, you know, with his, you know, national reputation and just the brand that he was able to bring. But then, you know, now looking back almost 2 years later to see kind of where we are, number 12 in the country. And, you know, you watch College Game Day, you watch whatever, and they're talking about Ole Miss football and Lane Kiffin and what our young men are doing. It's just been phenomenal, and to be able to see what Lane's been able to do on the field but off the field as well, and really getting ingrained in the community and all those things, it's just been great, and look for more great things to come in the future.
Yeah, and not only is Lane Kiffin doing spectacular things, you have, at the moment, the Heisman favorite, which is also pretty big news. It's a long way, and I asked Coach Kiffin about it earlier, but the amount of attention that comes to a university just through the conversation.
Yeah, well, first of all, Matt is just a great young man, first and foremost. And, you know, he's overcome some adversity, you know, had an injury while he was here and was benched. And, you know, now he's back. And, you know, you just love to see good young people be successful, right, and do great things. But, you know, you watch what he does on the field, and everybody talks about his arm. And then this past weekend he has 30 rushes and almost 200 yards. And he almost single-handedly put the team on his back to win that game at Tennessee. So, you know, we love what he's doing. Obviously, we want him to continue to play well. And you want it for the team. You want it for all that. But you want it for Matt, too, just because he's been through so much. And it's fun to see him do well.
Let's talk, Keith, about this weekend, because anyone who follows the SEC football knows the importance of the rivalry with LSU. It goes without saying. It's, you know, for a long time, it was the game on both sides. Everything changes. It's still a pretty important game. But just this weekend with Eli Manning and everything else that comes into it, give us an encapsulation of what this weekend means.
Well, it's huge, and we're talking off air. We just sold out, so we're excited about that. It's our first sellout in a very long time. And so we're excited about the crowd tomorrow. It's going to be great here in the Grove. And but, yeah, the rivalry has always been there. You know, a lot of our fans talk about the Ole Miss-LSU rivalry as our number one rivalry, and we've had some great games. Obviously, some of the personal kind of storylines with Coach Kiffin and Coach Orgeron's, you know, backgrounds and those type of things. But I think for us, it's you know, we're focused on us tomorrow. We got to go out. We got to play well. You know, we're encouraging all our fans to get there early and be loud and make it a true home field advantage. But it should be fun. And again, Oxford and Ole Miss is kind of back to what we know it as. And you see on the square, you see in, you know, around campus, there's a buzz, and it feels really good to be back.
And I don't want to go too old school, because we all, as a young person, I got tired of that. But you have to. I think a lot of young people watching, Keith, even long before your time, don't appreciate the richness of Ole Miss football. I mean, you go back to the 50s, 60s, obviously through through that era, even into the 70s. And this was, in many ways, along with Alabama, the epicenter of college football in the SEC.
It really was. And, you know, we take a lot of pride in that. You know, we go back to the late 50s, early 60s, winning national championships and, you know, some ups and downs along the way. But, you know, our you know, program and the people that played, you know, in that era and all the way through are very prideful of that and what we've been able to do with Ole Miss football. So, you know, with Coach Kiffin, that's one of the things we talked about during the hiring process was becoming more consistent, you know, and getting back to those days where we could win year in and year out. And, you know, obviously off to a great start and hope to add, you know, more stories to that legacy, you know, as we move forward.
I'm curious because we saw the bowl game last year, obviously a different type of year, but it still meant a lot. And I think we get focused on programs at this level, on who's in the Final Four, who's going to the playoffs. And I'm curious, as a school that has been in contention in the past, we all know what happened here 7 or 8 years ago, that's now knocking on the door again, just what it means just to be relevant in a college football world where it's not that easy.
It's not, and we've shown that with this roller coaster ride over the past, you know, 15 years or so, that you can become relevant, and then the next day you're not. And so, again, that's what we've talked a lot about is remaining relevant. And I think last year being able to get to the Outback Bowl, beat a great Indiana team with, you know, create that momentum going into recruiting and those type of things has been great. And then off to a 5-1 start this year, you know, we only want more, and we want to continue to push forward. But, you know, one game at a time, we'll be ready at 2:30 tomorrow and hopefully get to 6-1.
Keith, let's talk about the broader picture of your job. And you're one of 14, about to be 16 at some point, when, we don't know. But that does that is now on the minds of a lot of athletic directors as we make our travels. We don't know when it will happen, but how are you and your colleagues approaching the possibility that 2 years from now, 3 years from now, or whenever it is, a lot of what we know is not going to exist?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a fun puzzle to solve. And I think all of us as ADs, you know, it's a very challenging time. You know, you look at realignment, you look at NIL, you look at transfer portal, you look at the Alston case. There's just so many different things that are going on kind of nationally that are really big issues. But I think it's all good. We're going to get through it. We're going to find great solutions. And I love the fact that Oklahoma and Texas are going to join our league. I think they're two great brands that, you know, are going to join what is already the best league in the country and just make us even stronger. So I'm excited about the matchups. I think for me, probably the most exciting thing about them joining is it forces us to have a scheduling discussion
right
about how we're going to rotate these teams through more frequently and play more often and get to home and home more often. So I'm excited to go to Norman. I'm excited to go to Austin and then to reciprocate. So it's going to be a lot of fun, but a lot of challenges here over the next couple years.
And that's what I hear, and I'm curious about that because, you know, right now, I mean, there's some places in this league that are really, you know, attractive for fans, especially, obviously, for teams that you don't ever see, or at least you don't ever see within a long period of time.
Yeah, you know, you look at Tennessee. You know, we played there this past weekend. We sold the most tickets for that game of any of our road games this year for our fans because we just hadn't been there in so long. And so, you know, if the schedule stayed the same, we wouldn't go back to Knoxville for 12 years.
Right.
And so you've got student-athletes that come through Ole Miss and never play a team from the East. And so I think that's something we really have to look at as we – you know, look at the scheduling model, and it's great for the student-athletes, obviously, but it's great for the fans, too. When you're trying to sell season tickets and talk about going, you know, on the road to different places, you don't want to go to the same places every year, so it'll
sure
be nice.
And, Keith, before you go, and Coach Kiffin was very colorful here in remembering
Coach Kiffin was? He was colorful?
Yes,
okay.
Especially
right
about what happened last Saturday night at Neyland Stadium. And I know all of you – it within the league work together and are collegial, but I am curious about events like that because they're really, maybe there is a playbook, but how do you prepare for crowds reacting in ways that you wish they wouldn't, but you still have to deal with?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you want your crowd full, you want them to be in a frenzy, you want them to be that home field advantage, but then you want them to stop just short of what happened Saturday night. And so, you know, Danny White's a good friend of mine. We worked here at Ole Miss together, so we talked during the game, after the game, you know, days after the game. And it's one of those things that, you know, it is hard once you're in that moment to try to figure out the right thing to do, but I think what it that that event of Saturday night has done for all of us, it's made us reevaluate kind of our rapid response and how we would do something, you know, if something like that happened. So, you know, extra security and making sure they're around the visitor's tunnel, you know, just a lot of little things that you kind of check the box on that maybe you hadn't been thinking about for a while. But, you know, it was a tough situation. I think as Coach Kiffin said, we know it was a minority of the Tennessee fans. I'll say this, for 59 minutes, that was the best environment I've ever been in. I mean, it was unbelievable. It was loud. They were, you know, raucous crowd. They were a true home field advantage. And unfortunately, that happened at the end. But I think it did force us all to kind of evaluate, you know, where we are with our game procedures.
When this was going on, Coach Kiffin told us earlier that, you know, he was obviously communicating with the officials, as we all saw. Where were you, and was there a conversation at the administrative level?
Yeah, I was actually on the field, and I was out there, and Danny ended up coming down as well, and we were, you know, talking with the game officials, and also back in Birmingham, there, you know, was some conversations going back and forth. And I think for me, where I just got a little frustrated is it felt like we were just kind of mulling around on the field there for too long. Let's either not play the game or let's finish the game, and we needed to figure that out. Which we did, and we were able to finish and win the game and close it out. But, you know, again, I don't think there is necessarily a playbook for that when it happens in the moment. You do the best you can in preparation, but sometimes when you've got 100,000 people, sure, and people want to do what – it's just like rushing the field. You know, we get fined, and I get why we get fined, but there's no way we're telling 64,000 people to not come if they want to come, yeah. You know. So we'll do the best we can, have security, do all those things, but, you know, make sure that we're trying to keep our student-athletes and coaches safe.
Appreciate your transparency on that, because I think those of us who are just watching as fans, I mean, we have no idea what's going on,
right.
and we're also emotionally involved, so we're not thinking rationally. And I realize you have to think rationally. As I mean, you're no longer just the athletic director at Ole Miss. I mean, you're part of a group that's trying to solve a problem, are you not?
Yeah, that's right. And I think for us, it was about safety. And you know, it wasn't just the Ole Miss people. I mean, it was the Tennessee cheerleaders and the Tennessee band, sure, and others that were getting hit as well. And it's just so unfortunate that, you know, a small group acting like that, you know, really diminished what was a great game,
yeah,
night. You know, a great game, very competitive game, great atmosphere. But again, I think it forced us to kind of look in depth at our internal procedures, and hopefully we can prevent that from happening in the future.
Keith Carter, Vice Chancellor for Intercollegiate Athletics here at Ole Miss. Keith, really appreciate you coming by. It's always
absolutely
good to see
you. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. We are coming right back. We're live at the Grove.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
And welcome back live in Oxford, Mississippi, as the sun begins to fade down. A gorgeous day. And we are taking more phone calls here before we get to our next guest. And Ray is up next in Michigan. Hey, Ray.
Yeah, Paul, this is Ray Beckstein from South Lyon, Michigan, and I'm calling to ask you if you think that Michigan State's coach if offered, will take the LSU job?
You know, that's the question. I think he is clearly in serious contention. I'm not 100% sure he'll take it, though. I've heard conflicting stories today. But I think he would be a very good choice, though.
Yeah, he's coached there before, right?
Yeah, he may have been an analyst initially, and then he became an assistant under Saban. He's been in the Saban family a couple of times. He was with him at LSU. He was later with him at Alabama, and he left Alabama with Kirby Smart. He was Kirby Smart's defensive coordinator at Georgia. He's also spent some time in the NFL, so he has a lot of experience.
Yeah, my father-in-law is a big States fan, and it would kill him if he went to LSU. So, and another question, do you think Harbaugh has turned Michigan around?
I think he's done a good job. Now, you know, he still hasn't played Michigan State, Penn State, or Ohio State, so I think those are three critical games, but I'm very impressed with what he's done this year so far.
Well, thank you so much, Paul.
Thank you for calling, Ray. You be well. Let's talk to Joseph
you
next.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Joseph is up next in Tupelo. Hello, Joseph. Go right ahead.
Hey, Mr. Paul. Good afternoon, or good early evening, I should rather say.
We're pretty close to it. You're right. I'm doing great. Thank you.
I'm doing great. Well, I'll be there tomorrow, but I was going to say that I'm just so excited about this game. This game has made me feel like, you know, that I was at the Trident House working, doing some security stuff whenever we had game day down there, and we won the game. But that sort of got the feel to it. But also, I want to know, I mean, what do you think about this CJ guy that called you, and he's talking about burning rebel flags and stuff like this is ridiculous. I mean, I was a little late for the show, but who is this cat?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember which call CJ was. What was his
premise? It's been I don't know, probably an hour ago. I was an hour late for the show, and so I had to turn on, but also, besides that, I want to talk again to ask you, is like, I really do think that if we have all our ducks in a row, and I think we do win this game, and if some miracle, which I don't know if Alabama or whatever happens, but there's got to be some chance if Ole Miss is 11-1, we've got to have some chance to get in the playoffs if that happens.
Thanks for the call, Joseph. Thank you very much. I think there's a problem with that premise, and I know that Ole Miss fans don't want to hear that. But you for Ole Miss to get in the playoff at 11-1 and not play for the SEC championship, you need a couple of things that have to happen. So I think Ole Miss's toughest game of the season is going to be next week at Auburn. That is a very difficult game. It's on the road. I'm trying to remember I think that's a night game too. So, you know, Liberty, I think is manageable. A&M at home, don't know what A&M team shows up, and obviously the Egg Bowl. But I think it's a fun conversation right now, but I think there's a long way between now and 11-1. But back to my original point, if Ole Miss beats Georgia, excuse me, if Alabama beats Georgia, and they're both 12-1, then that's two spots right there. That would not give Ole Miss any breathing room at all. Ole Miss is going to need Alabama out of the picture. They will need probably Oklahoma to lose and hope for some help elsewhere. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's check in with Big L in Louisiana. Hello, Big L.
Young man, I see y'all out of the... Y'all surely at the right place.
Yeah,
and at the right game. Oh, yeah. Listen, that's going to be a good game. Good game. Hello?
Yeah, Big L, we're here. What's on your mind?
"Oh, look, Miss Rogers, you had Miss Rogers in." She said, "Rogers, the little lady that was there before." She said that word again, scary.
She did.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I have a prediction for the game.
Okay.
Okay. In the eternal words of Justin Wilson, a French comedian down here, I can guarantee that somebody's going to win.
Thanks for the call, Big L. Bill is up next in Colorado Springs. Hey, Bill, go right ahead.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for taking the call. Second-time caller. Just want to get your opinion on something. You obviously travel more to these games, see more of the people out experiencing and whatnot. A friend of mine personally experienced this, and I read a couple things where now that they've allowed alcohol sales in some of the stadiums, again, a friend of mine relayed this to me. I read a couple things. It seems that some trips that visiting fans would make are no longer becoming particularly enjoyable. The alcohol sales may be putting a certain edge on the home team fans. Have you heard, maybe seen anything like this where maybe some of these trips aren't as fun anymore because of the alcohol sales?
Well, first of all, I don't think every school sells alcohol, but what you always hear is that they stop selling it at a certain point. It doesn't matter. If you have a night game, stopping it at the end of the third quarter, what does that mean? That means that some of you are going to help me with this because I'm not at the concession stands very often buying beer. But, I mean, we're talking about large quantities of beer. We're not just talking about, going in and getting an 8-ounce glass. We're talking about, 16, 24-ounce beers. So there's a lot of beer consumption. And everybody, one beer would probably put me out for the rest of the weekend. For some people, they can knock off 10 or 12 or who knows how many. And then you add the combustive nature of a college football game with 100,000 people, you have some serious problems.
Yeah, I stop at the point where I'm sorry, I'm not going to pay $8 for a cup of beer. I mean, I don't see the economics of it.
No,
but and it's not going away. Let's be honest. There's money to be made there, a lot of money to be made, and that's the nature of it. But like I said, you travel around. Just curious if you hear anything. Keep up the good work. I love the show.
Thank you very, very much, Bill. Appreciate it. We are heading to a break. We still have one more guest on a busy night in Oxford, Mississippi. Chris Doering is next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back. Final 30 minutes. We're live here in Oxford. Let's head back to the studio and be joined by Chris Doering to take a look ahead to the slate tomorrow, which is pretty thin. Chris, good to have you on. Before we get to tomorrow, which is interesting, let's talk about the Florida situation. You live in Gatorland, and what is going on with the quarterback situation a week away from the big game in Jacksonville?
You know, I think that the quarterback situation is just one of the conversations going on. I mean, there's a vocal part of the fan base, whether it be a minority or not, that is very upset with where the program is right now. You look at some of the frustration with the recruiting rankings over the years. A lot of people say that if Florida's not getting the type of talent that they need to get in order to be competitive in the SEC and nationally. A lot of people upset with the defense after their performance against LSU. So right now, it's a lot of negativity. And with Georgia on the horizon, obviously we're looking at potentially four losses as we're just barely over the halfway point in the season. Now, the schedule does get a little bit more manageable for them. But at this point in time, you know, I think the quarterback situation, there's really nothing left to lose. It's time to look to the future. It's time to look to the guy that has the most upside. And I believe that that's Anthony Richardson. Now, I know that Coach Mullen has a history of not wanting to put guys out there prematurely to where they fail. But I think we've seen Anthony Richardson bring a spark, bring a rhythm to this offense that unfortunately Emory Jones doesn't quite bring.
Chris, you know, fans love to beat up on assistant coaches and coordinators, and certainly Todd Grantham has received the lion's share of that criticism. First of all, is it justified?
I think it's certainly justified after last season. Now, with that being said, I've saw significant improvement this year. The things that haunted them last year, they didn't have great play from their defensive line. They weren't able to get a lot of penetration against the run. They didn't get pressure on quarterbacks when they just brought four. This year, they've been better. Zach Carter's had a tremendous season to this point in time. The linebacker play could be a little bit better, as we saw in the run game on Saturday. But it's a relatively new secondary. So I think we've seen a lot of improvement. And then all of a sudden, this outlier comes out last week against LSU, where 14 times they run the same counter and Florida can't adjust to it. And I think that's the frustration that a lot of Gator fans have right now, is that watching one of the worst teams in the country run the football to the tune of what LSU was able to do it is adding insult to injury. And I think it takes everybody immediately back to last season, where there was a lot of PTSD on that side of the ball for Gator fans.
So Chris, and I realize next week tells a lot of tales. You know that better than anybody with the importance mm-hmm. of the Georgia game. But, you know, Dan Mullen's still struggling in some ways recruiting. There are issues about the defense. There are issues about other things. What are those of us who don't understand the nuances of Gatorland supposed to interpret from his status right now, other than we all think he's one of the best offensive play callers in the country?
It is funny, the perception of where this program is, because just a couple weeks ago, after what was a loss, albeit, you know, Florida settling for moral victories in a loss to Alabama, everybody thought, oh, you know, Florida's going to be able to replace Kyle Trask. They've done that. The running game is much better. They can compensate for maybe the lack of the consistency passing the ball that they had last year. And now that narrative has completely been changed, going up with all the self-inflicted errors that they had in Lexington, 15 penalties, 8 false starts that night, and then going last week to LSU and just getting completely embarrassed in a game that Florida was favored by over two or almost two touchdowns. So it's a negative fan base. It's one that has high expectations, that certainly wants to get back to the days of getting to Atlanta more frequently than what they've been. But my question when we're talking about replacing coaches is, who is going to be better? Who's a better fit out there? Culturally, I don't know that there's a better fit than what Dan Mullen is, given his time as a coordinator, as part of the national championship, two national championship teams that Urban Meyer had, and a guy that really understands what Florida wants, and that's a high-flying offense that can score a lot of points. Now, they got some things to fix, particularly on the defensive side, but I just don't see anybody out there that's going to be better than what Dan Mullen is. And let's not forget, he inherited a 4-7 football team just 4 years ago, and then took that team the very next year to New Year's Six bowl games in year one and year two and year three last year. And this year is probably going to be a little bit of a drop-off. But when you lose one of your record-setting quarterbacks in Kyle Trask, you lose Kyle Pitts, a once-in-a-generation tight end, you lose Trayvon Grimes and Kadarius Toney, who was another first-round pick, you're going to have a step back. I think that Florida fans need to get a little bit more realistic than what they actually are right now.
Yeah, and this might be a better statement to make after next week, but still, if it's another four-loss season, that goes contrary to what you have just laid out. And, you know, I say this to those who don't follow Florida football as closely as you do, having, you know, been one of the great players, but losing four games in Florida doesn't go very long.
It does not, especially when we're talking about, you know, the experience of Florida getting back to Atlanta last year. The most probably disappointing number that we were talking about last week after the loss was 2-6 in the last eight games against Power 5 opponents, with the two wins coming against Vanderbilt and Tennessee. That certainly is not acceptable. But if you think about it, some of the biggest games that Florida fans have celebrated was going toe-to-toe with Alabama in the SEC championship game last year, and almost winning in Gainesville against Alabama a month ago. Again, it's a little out of whack with the perspective that Florida fans have always had, especially since the 90s when Coach Spurrier was there. We don't celebrate moral victories. It's time to get back to winning football games, winning the division, and putting yourself in the mix to play for a college football playoff berth.
Let's get to a game or two before we run out of time. The game here, obviously, Ole Miss fans pretty upbeat. LSU coming into town after a chaotic week.
So many unknowns in this one, Paul, right? I mean, we look at Matt Corral. How healthy is he going to be? Is he even going to be able to go? And if he does go, are you going to run him, which is a vital part of the offense and the success that they've had, as we saw last week with almost 200 yards rushing? And then I look at the other side. With LSU, like, where are they from a mindset perspective? Are they going to rally around Coach O? It's been an emotional week, obviously, with a lot of news coming out and people looking to the future with some uncertainty. That doesn't usually sit well with 18 to 22-year-old kids. And so I think it could go one of two ways for LSU. They could certainly rally and look the way that they did against Florida, or they could completely start falling to pieces and looking to the future, which is a viable option as well. I believe that Ole Miss is one of the best teams in the country. I think they still need to shore up some things defensively, but I think this is a double-digit win for Ole Miss at home tomorrow.
A double-digit win. Is there one other game? Because it's a thin slate with everybody. So many teams having bye weeks. What can Tennessee do in Tuscaloosa tomorrow night to make this game interesting?
It's another interesting dynamic when we talk about injuries. All right, does Hendon Hooker go? If not, is Joe Milton able to live up to some of the hype that he had in the preseason? You also look at the offensive line. They lost Cooper Mays before last week, and Cade Mays goes down in the middle of the game. So the offensive line was reshuffled. Ole Miss able to get five sacks in that football game, put pressure on the quarterback 10 times. And so that right there has got to have guys like Will Anderson and the rest of the Alabama defense salivating, looking at the pressure that was able to put on the quarterback last week. I think Alabama absolutely feasts in this game, and it's unfortunate because I think Tennessee has made some strides and certainly do some things offensively that, when healthy, could put a strain on that Alabama defense. I just don't think they have enough parts healthy right now to be able to really put their best foot forward in this game.
Chris Doering from the studio, thank you very, very much, Chris. We appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.